Welcome to the James River Church podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor John Lindell. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Well, we're going to start a new series this afternoon. For the next several weeks, we're going to be doing this series, Get Smart. It's a look at some of the Proverbs, and what a great book Proverbs is. So we're going to be looking at that over the next few weeks. We'll get back into Romans as we come into the fall. I want to begin this morning or this afternoon the message, Get Smart, Get Wisdom, by asking you a question. If you were granted one wish, what would you wish for? What is it that you would want? There were three guys, they were on a deserted island. They'd been stranded there for several weeks. They were walking along the beach one morning, and they saw something kind of sticking up out of the sand. They went over, picked it up. It looked like an old brass lamp. They began to kind of smooth it off and wipe the dust off or the sand off of it. And all of a sudden, out came a genie. The genie said, I'll grant you three wishes, and since there's three of you, you each get a wish. He turned to the first one and said, sir, what would you wish for? He said, I wish I was back in my office in Boston. Poof! He was back in his office in Boston. The genie turned to the second man and said, what would you like? And he said, I wish I were home with my family. Poof! He was gone. The genie turned to the third person and said, and what would you like? He said, I don't know, since those other two guys left, felt kind of lonely. I wish my friends were here with me. Not a wise wish. Well, there's a man in the Bible, his name was Solomon, and God essentially said to him, ask whatever it is you want me to do. 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 7. That night, God appeared to Solomon. So Solomon's just become king. He's offered a number of sacrifices, an extraordinary number of sacrifices. And God appears to him in a dream and said, ask whatever you want me to give you. Imagine it. The God of the universe comes to you and he says, ask whatever you want and I'll give it to you. The God for whom nothing is impossible. What would you ask? I want you to notice what Solomon asked for in verse 8. Solomon answered, God, you've shown great kindness. Give me wisdom. When Solomon can ask for anything, Solomon says, give me wisdom. And God gave it to him. I want you to notice in verse 11, it says this. God said to Solomon, since this is your heart's desire, and you've not asked for wealth, riches, or honor, nor for the death of your enemies, and since you've not asked for a long life, but for wisdom and knowledge to govern my people, over whom I've made you king, therefore, wisdom and knowledge will be given you, and I'll also give you wealth, riches, honor, such as no king who was before you ever had. What I want you to notice is that when Solomon gets wisdom, there's a whole lot of other things that happen that are good in his life. Wisdom is then a platform for the blessing of God in the life of any single individual. Solomon asks for wisdom, and that enables God to do a whole lot more in his life. That is the value of wisdom. So over the next few weeks, we're going to talk about wisdom. We're going to talk about specific aspects. But today, I want to do a general overview of wisdom. When we come to the book of Proverbs, what we're coming to is a compilation of sayings on wisdom that either are from people who were wise people in Solomon's day, and Solomon was aware of their wisdom, or wisdom that was passed down to Solomon from his own father David, or wisdom that Solomon came by as God worked in his heart and gave him this supernatural wisdom. All of it, though, is a collection of teaching that is designed to be passed down primarily to children. So this is a book, you could say this, a godly book of wisdom that a parent, it's from a parent to a parent for parenting, to pass on to our children. You get an idea of that in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction. Do not forsake your mother's teaching. That phrase, my son, appears 23 times. I mean, chapter 2, verse 1, my son, receive my words. Chapter 3, verse 1, my son, do not forget my words. Chapter 4, verse 1, my sons, hear a father's instruction. So it's the idea of these are lessons to be passed down. Now, as we think of wisdom, what I want to do is I want to answer three questions. So if you're taking notes, three questions. The first question is, what is wisdom? What is wisdom? And I would suggest to you that wisdom is primarily three things. First of all, wisdom is fearing God. It says this in Proverbs 9 and verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. What are we talking about when we're talking about fearing God? We're talking about reverencing God, honoring God, respecting God. You could think of it this way. It's an awe of God, of who He is, of all that He does. This great, magnificent, amazing God. Wisdom begins in acknowledging that there is a God, that He is awesome, that He is great, of being aware of Him. Not only that He is who He is, but that He is everywhere all the time. You know, I was thinking about this. There's a lot of things people wouldn't do if they realized God is right there beside them, seeing what they're seeing, hearing what they're seeing. If He was right there, there's a lot of things people wouldn't do. It's people who forget about God that find themselves in trouble. In fact, it's C.S. Lewis who said that sin isn't so much a hatred of God as it is a forgetfulness of God, just forgetting that He's there. Wisdom is found in an awe of God, an awareness of God, an adoration and a worship of God, so that you're just saying, God, You are so great. I want to use my life to honor You. I want to worship You with my mind. I want to worship You with my mouth. I want to worship You with my actions. In everything that I do, I want to live my life for You. When you and I have that as a purpose, the greater we have that as a purpose in our life, the more we will live with wisdom. Wisdom, the fear of the Lord, is the beginning of wisdom. And we're not just talking about fearing God or worshiping God on Sunday, but every single day of the week, everywhere we go. As well, wisdom is knowing who God is. So it's honoring, it's reverencing Him, it's fearing Him, but it's knowing who He is. Look at it in Proverbs 9 and verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. How much do you know about God? How much do you know about His characteristics, His attributes? A book I'd highly recommend to you, A.W. Tozer's book, The Knowledge of the Holy. I read it periodically. It just like twists your mind, blows your mind, makes you think big thoughts of God, which is really the key to loving and serving God in a greater way. The more highly we think of God, the better we serve God. The more you and I know about God and have knowledge, the greater our understanding will be about God. If you want to be wise, know who God is, that He's sovereign. That means He's in charge. He's the King. He's in control. He's all-powerful. He is all-knowing. God knows everything. He never learns anything. He knows all things equally and effortlessly. He's all-present. He's there all the time. There's nowhere you can go to escape from His presence. You can't hide from Him. He's everywhere. He's holy. He opposes sin, and He loves righteousness. He's unchanging. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Always the same, which is such a wonderful thing. Can you imagine if you got up tomorrow and the rules had all changed? Can you imagine if you got up tomorrow and everything in the Bible, God just woke up one morning and said, I think I'm going to be different. He is the same You can count on Him. What He said yesterday, what He says today, what He says tomorrow, you can trust Him. He is faithful. He is merciful. He is kind. He is gracious. He is loving toward all He has made. He is good. He does good. He is generous, incurably and incredibly generous. He's an awesome God. The more you know about God, the more you'll walk in wisdom. Finally, I think we could say this about wisdom when we're asking about what wisdom is. It's the ability with skill to apply God's word, God's principles to our life. You know, a person could know about God and know a lot about God, but if they didn't do what they knew, you couldn't call them wise. There are some people, I meet them all the time, who know better. They just, and some people, you say, you know, you shouldn't do that. You know, I don't care. That's a fool. That's a person, when we talk about when one of the Proverbs you'll look at, we'll look at next week, he who walks with the wise becomes wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. Who's the fool? The fool says, you know, when you're around a person who knows the difference between right and wrong, but doesn't care. That's a fool. And when you're with that kind of person, or when you are that kind of person, the Bible says you'll suffer harm. You're not going to experience wisdom. You will suffer injury. It will hurt you. You'll experience setbacks. On the other hand, when you and I take what we know and we apply it skillfully to our life, it is the expression of wisdom. So wisdom, what is it? It is fearing God, it's knowing about God, and it's applying what we know to our life. Second thing I want you to notice is, how will wisdom benefit me? Why should you want wisdom? Why should you walk in wisdom? Here's some things wisdom does. Wisdom will guard you and protect you. It'll guard you and protect you. Proverbs 4, verse 6, do not forsake wisdom. She will protect her. Love her, and she will watch over you. The Message puts it this way, never walk away from wisdom. She guards your life. Love her. She keeps an eye on you. One of the ways that wisdom protects you is it keeps us from doing things that will harm us. It keeps us from doing things that diminish life or that will hurt those around us. For example, in Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 12, it says, wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men. It will also, Proverbs, I think it's chapter 5, says, save you from the wayward woman with her smooth-sounding words. In other words, she's going to tell you you're really something, but you're not all that hot. She's just putting it on. When you're wise, you understand that. Wisdom keeps you from making decisions that will hurt you, that will damage your future, that will send you the long way around, that will cause you to take the wrong turn. That's what it says in the Message. They'll keep you from making wrong turns. Having to go back, redo, some of which you can't ever really undo. Wisdom, when a person walks in wisdom, it saves them so much heartache, so many headaches, so much hurt. Walking in wisdom, wisdom protects you. Second, wisdom will give you confidence and contentment. Proverbs 14 and verse 26. I love this verse. Whoever fears the Lord has a secure fortress. Whoever fears the Lord, that's wisdom. That's the beginning of wisdom.
That's right.
When a person's wise, what happens is that wisdom becomes, it's part of the protection of wisdom, but it becomes as if you're living in a fortress. And when you're in a fortress, people can shoot arrows, but when you're in a fortress, the fortress blocks them, right? People can attack, there can be problems, but they don't overcome you because there is a protection, there is a security. Watch this, and for his children, it will be a refuge. Listen, as a parent, when I live in wisdom, it offers a protection to my children. How is that? Well, because that stability of environment keeps them from experiencing undue anxiety, undue uncertainty, instability that can result, honestly, in a lot of emotional and behavioral problems.
Right.
Not saying every emotional or behavioral problem could be prevented by a wise life. I am going to say, though, much of it could. Because when you have parents that are not living in wisdom, one or the other or both, then the kids are left with a mountain of insecurity, a mountain of uncertainty. But when a person walks in wisdom, it diminishes a lot of that instability. And it creates a security. It's a refuge. The fear of God builds up confidence. Listen. Wisdom can make you confident. When you're walking in wisdom will help you overcome insecurity. Because insecurity is often, first of all, it is an inordinate focus on yourself, and wisdom tells you, hey, don't stop looking at yourself and start looking at God. Wisdom tells you, hey, God will help you. Don't worry. God will go before you. When you know you're walking in wisdom and you know you're walking in His path and you know you're walking in His plan and you know that He's going to give you wisdom, you're not sitting there saying, oh, what am I going to say? How am I going to handle that? No, you know that God's going to help you. That changes everything. That gives you a confidence and makes a world safe for your children. Living in wisdom, just you choosing to do that, has an enormous effect on your children. Wisdom creates confidence and security. Proverbs 19 and verse 23 says, the fear of the Lord leads to life. Then one rests content, untouched by trouble. You say, so you're saying, if I walk in wisdom, I'm not going to have trouble. That brings up something I think it's important for everybody to understand about the Proverbs. The Proverbs are not promises. The Proverbs are probabilities. Here's what Solomon's saying. Solomon's looking at life, and Solomon is saying, by and large, as people live life, this is what I've noticed. As a general rule, this is the way life plays. Are there exceptions to the rule? Yes, we can all name exceptions to the rule. But by and large, this is the way it plays for godly people. Now, there are some proverbs that really lean more toward a promise. But in this one, then one rests content, untouched by trouble. Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have trouble. But here's what it's saying to us. That when a person walks in wisdom, they experience considerably fewer problems. I would say this. I mean, from my experience as a pastor, when I watch how people do life and I look at my own life, I would conclude this, that for most people, and there are, obviously there's always that outlier, that exception. For most people, I'm going to say that one-third of the problems that they have are just part of life, two-thirds are problems that they create. In my own life, what I say, what I did or didn't do, I mean, you know, that's the way it works. Think of that. If you could get rid, and I think that's a conservative percentage, I think it could be as high as 80%. If you could get rid of 80% of your problems, if you could get rid of two-thirds of your problems because you walked in wisdom, why would you not want to do that? Wisdom, you know, the fear of the Lord, wisdom leads to life. Then one rests untouched by trouble. There's just a whole lot of things you don't have happen to you when you live a wise life. When you speak godly words, when you think godly thoughts, when you are wise in the way you use your time, when you're wise in the way you use your money, when you're wise in the way you select your friendships, when you're wise in how you control your emotions. Listen, when you live a life of wisdom, it diminishes the number of problems that you're going to experience in life. I'm not saying you're not going to have problems. I'm just saying you're going to have a lot fewer problems because wisdom causes you to have to be content, untouched by trouble. Watch it. Verse 23 and from the Message, fear of God is life itself, a full life, serene. Amen. Wow. No nasty surprises. In other words, you are living a wise life. You know that if you do certain things are going to result. Well, Proverbs 3 and verse 13, happy is the man who finds wisdom. You know, you look at the world and people that are on a mad pursuit for happiness. If I can, you know, people think, you know, if I just get this job, if I can just have this relationship, if I can just get this, you know, get this education, if I can just live in this neighborhood, if I could just drive this car, if I could just save enough to be able to do this hobby, then I would be happy. Not realizing that all of those sources of happiness are literally temporary. Wisdom, on the other hand, brings a continual feast, a continual fare. I don't have that verse up there, but that's what the writer of Proverbs says. And the man who gains understanding, her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. That when you and I are walking in wisdom, there is a peace, there is a joy, there is a contentment, there is a confidence. Well, number three, wisdom will bring honor and financial blessing. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and of man. Listen, we all know people who are wise. And you're like, wow, that's a wise person. I mean, you know somebody like that? I hope you do. I hope you get to be friends with them, that you get to be close to them. Because the Bible says, he who walks with the wise, what? Becomes wise. So to hang out with wise people, to learn from wise people. When our kids were small, I watched parents, I watched kids in the church, I watched how things were playing out. The people who I thought have really good kids, and when I talked to them, they seemed to be really smart, those are the people I was having breakfast with. Because those are the people I wanted to learn from. What do you do when this happens? What do you do when this happens? I'd listen to what they'd say. I'd think about it. I'd watch if they really did it. I would learn from them so that as I was raising my kids, because I was raised in a home where I had good parents, but we were not in church. We were not doing, I mean, so it was different. I wanted my kids to grow up to be godly. I wanted my kids to grow up to be wise. I wanted to be wise as a parent, so I wanted to walk with wise people, right? When you are wise, you win favor, you got a good name. Proverbs 3:16 says, long life is in her right hand, and her left hand are riches and honor. When you're wise, you're gonna be wise in the way you use your money. You're gonna learn about when you're wise, it will influence your finances. In fact, Proverbs 3 and verse 9 says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled with overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. When you're wise, you realize, hey, you know what? You tithe. I mean, tithing is a wise decision. Not tithing is a foolish decision because God can't bless what you don't give him. And you can't outgive God. The more you give God, the more God's going to bless you. I mean, taking 10% and saying, God, here, this is yours. It's all yours anyway. And I acknowledge that as I'm giving it. And Lord, your word says you'll bless it. Watch what he'll do. I'm just simply telling you, I've been in this now long enough to watch it work, and it's true. When you're wise with your words, when you're wise with your wealth, when you're wise with your time, you watch God use it and bless you. That's why in Proverbs 4 and verse 8 it says, esteem her, that's wisdom, and she'll exalt you. Yeah. Honor wisdom. I mean, you know what our world honors? Foolishness. I mean, that's what the world honors. Foolish talk, coarse joking, innuendo, sensuality, people doing things that are godless, people doing things that are wicked. Our world honors that. Listen, it says, honor wisdom and she'll exalt you. Esteem her, embrace her. She'll honor you. I mean, here's the way it works. You put yourself, humble yourself, the Bible says, under the mighty hand of God, and then what does it say? In due season, he'll exalt you. Or another translation says, he will lift you up. So you put yourself under the hand of God. God puts his hand under you. And it's as if you are encircled. You're enveloped in his hand. The hand of God under you. The hand of God over you. The hand of God around you, protecting you. I mean, what could be better than that? I want that for my life more than anything. And that's what I want for my kids. I want the hand of God on my life. And wisdom is the means by which that happens. In the message, it says, above all and before all, do this. Get wisdom. Priority number one, get wisdom. Write this at the top of your list. Get understanding. You know what it's saying? Whatever you got to do to be wise, you should do it. Whatever you have to do, are you wise? I'm not talking about, are you street smart? I'm not asking if you have a terminal degree. I'm asking, are you wise? Because I've met people who are really intelligent and they're very unwise. And I've met a lot of people who really got the street smart, but they're not wise. I mean, are you wise? And if you don't, if you can't answer, yes, I've got a lot of God's wisdom. If you can't answer that, then in that way, then you need to do whatever. You got to rearrange your priorities and say, I got to get wisdom. I got to get understanding. I got to make that the priority in my life. He says, throw your arms around her. Believe me, you won't regret it. Never let go. She'll make your life glorious. Wisdom. Well, number four, wisdom will build your house. It'll build your home. Look at this in Proverbs 24 and verse 3. By wisdom, a house is built. You know, wisdom will build a marriage. Wisdom will build a business. Wisdom will build a church. By wisdom, a house is built. It says in Proverbs chapter 14, the wise woman builds her house. You could say the wise man builds his house. See, when a person operates in wisdom, when they're wise in what they say, when they're wise in how they control their emotions, when they're wise in what they think and what they allow themselves to think, when they're wise in the way that they would purchase things, buy things, when they're wise, it builds the house. On the other hand, it says this in the last part of that verse, but with her own hands, the foolish one tears it down. I mean, it's not that she's ripping the siding or he's ripping the siding off the house. It's that they're saying things that are destructive. Saying things that destroy faith, destroy trust, destroy love, destroy joy, destroy security. You know, we have to be careful. When you're wise, you're careful how you speak. Wisdom will build your home. And the third, where can I find wisdom? Because that really is the issue, isn't it? Because, you know, we know what wisdom is, and we know now the benefit of wisdom, but where are you going to find wisdom? Proverbs 8:1. This is so encouraging, so reassuring. Does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice? Here's what it's saying. You know, the New Testament word for fool is the Greek word moros. We get our word moron from it. So people that are foolish, they're morons. So wisdom's like, hey, moron, I'm over here. You're foolish, you lack wisdom. Hey, I'm over here. Here's where wisdom is. You know what's interesting? Folly is also hollering out.
Wow, that's right.
Saying, hey, all you morons, come over here and you'll have a really great time. She'll end up getting hurt. But wisdom says, you need wisdom. I'm right here. I'm right here. Hey, you, I've got wisdom over here. You say, well, if that's true, if wisdom is shouting, how come most people don't hear it? And the answer is this, because you have to listen for it. You have to listen. Listen to what the writer of Proverbs says on this. Turning your ear to wisdom. In other words, you got to listen. You got to listen to what wisdom is saying. I love this. Tune your ears to the world of wisdom. You know, I got a radio in my truck, but if the radio's not on, I'm not going to hear what I could hear if the radio was on. And the radio can be on, but if I don't have the tuner set to the right frequency, I'm not going to hear what's on the radio. Wisdom's that way. You got to tune in, you got to lean in. That's what it says there. Incline thine ear to wisdom. Incline, lean in. You know, I grew up on a farm, and it was before the days of the cushy GPS-driven air-conditioned, watch TV, just turn the switch on and sit back driving. You can tell I'm like, that's not fair. What was that when I was growing up? I was with the big diesel and all the dust. But as a result, I don't hear certain things very well, especially if a room's noisy. And so you'll see me, one of the things, if you ever see me with my arms folded and I'm like this, or my head's down, it's because I'm trying to listen to what the person is saying. I've got to lean in if I want to hear. I've got to incline my ear to hear what the person is saying. That's what you have to do with wisdom. You got to lean in. You got to listen closely. Look at it in Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 2. Does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights, along the way, where the paths meet. In other words, at the crossroads, when you're facing a decision, wisdom is saying, hey, I want to help you. Maybe you hadn't thought of it that way. Maybe you thought it was all up to you to get in church so you'd know what to do. And that's not a bad thing. I'm just simply saying wisdom is calling out 24/7, wherever you're at. Wisdom is saying, hello. Wisdom cries out. At that place of decision in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 20, wisdom calls aloud in the street. She raises her voice in church. That's not what it says. Does wisdom raise its voice in church? Yes. But God's wisdom is practical. It is useful. It is beneficial. It is essential for every day of our life, everywhere that we go. It's beneficial in the public square. It's beneficial when you're out in the community. It's beneficial when you're at work. It's beneficial when you're walking through the neighborhood. It's beneficial. It isn't just for church. Proverbs 1 and verse 21 says this, at the head of the noisy streets, she cries out, on the boulevards of life, on the major thoroughfares, on the avenues, wherever life is taking you, wisdom is crying out. Wisdom is there. It's calling out. There's wisdom. And you can find it by listening for it. That's right. You know, it's very interesting. We talked about 2 Chronicles and the story of Solomon, and God asked him, what do you want? And he says, I'll take wisdom. In a parallel passage in Kings, 1 Kings chapter 3, it records for us that same story, and it says, here's what Solomon asked. So give your servant a discerning heart. What that literally in the Hebrew is, a listening ear. Give your servant, Solomon's saying, help me to hear what you're saying. You see, wisdom sometimes is simply, if you're listening, it's a prompting. It's a, you know, how does it work? You know, do I do this? Do I not do that? Wisdom will prompt you. Wisdom will speak to you, will nudge you, will guide you. You'll have a sense. Maybe it's somebody talking to you. Have you ever had a conversation? All of a sudden, you were dealing with the problem. The person you're talking to doesn't even know about it, but as they're talking, they're saying things, and all of a sudden, it's as if the Lord is talking to you through them. That's wisdom, to have a listening heart to hear. Or you feel all of a sudden, you feel like, I don't feel good about this. You can't explain why you don't, but you know you don't. That's wisdom. That's wisdom crying out saying, hello, don't do it. That's wisdom. And it's a listening heart, a heart that can hear God's voice is what wisdom is. But you got to listen for it. If you're not listening, if you've not tuned in, this is the value, honestly, of daily devotion. Listen, I'm not talking about a guilt trip like, did you have your devotions today? I'm talking about, you know what? A great thing to do is to start your day by saying, God, I want to sensitize my heart to you. I want to sensitize my mind to you. I want to get on your wavelength. I want to turn the radio on so that I can tune in to what it is you want to speak to me today. Because God, honestly, I know what I think's going to happen today in my life, but there's a whole lot of things I haven't planned on, a whole lot of situations I'm going to be in, a whole lot of conversations I'm going to have. You know them already, and I'm going to need your help for every single one of them. I'm not smart enough. I'm not clever enough. I'm not creative enough. I'm not wise enough. God, I need your wisdom. I need to listen. Yeah, that's true. But in order to do that, I've got to incline my ear. I can't just get up and go about my day like and then hope it happens. So you listen. Number two, you find wisdom by having wise friends. Amen. And I alluded to that. You know, he who walks with the wise grows wise. Get around wise people, and you'll find yourself being wise. You become like the people you hang out with. Straight up, that is true if ever. There are some people that because you love them and they don't know the Lord, you need to maintain relationship with them for the purpose of reaching them for Christ. I'm not talking about cutting off everybody who doesn't know Jesus or everybody who's foolish. I am going to suggest that it's very difficult to grow in wisdom if you're continuing in close friendship with people who are fools. And the fool says in his heart, there is no God. The foolish person says, I don't want anything to do with God. I'm not interested. I don't need it. I don't need all of that's very, very foolish. And we love those people, but you can't have your life filled with those people. There are some people, honestly, who are toxic. If somebody's constantly tearing you down, tearing Christianity down, tearing the church down, at some point you got to say, you know what, this isn't going to work. I've got to be around people, ultimately, generally speaking, who are going to build my faith, who are going to be in the same stream of wisdom and loving the Lord and seeking the Lord. And that's not that I don't have friends. I'm reaching people intentionally, but close friends have to be wise. Parents, when you look at the kids that your children are hanging out with. Honestly, and it's too late to do this if they're teens.
Yeah, you're right.
But from an early age, you have to pick your kids' friends.
Yes, you
just do. There are some kids, it's not good. You say, well, but if I don't reach out to them, well, you know what? You can reach out, you can be kind, but they can't be your kid's best friend. Because
right.
Bad company corrupts good morals.
Right.
1 Corinthians 15. You've got to decide, what is your job as a parent? My job as a parent is to raise godly offspring.
Amen.
People who love God.
Yep.
They don't have to be in the ministry. Got to love God.
Yep.
With all their heart. If they love God with all their heart, they're going to be wise. If they don't, they're going to be a heartbreak.
Right.
And so as a parent, you got to be careful who they hang out with. Number three, you can find wisdom by reading the Bible.
Yeah.
I mean, wisdom is found in God's Word. Listen to this, Psalm 19. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. In other words, there's just a renewing that comes when you and I are reading the Word of God. It renews our mind. It changes how we think. It renews our soul. And then the statutes of the Lord are trustworthy. In other words, you can count on them. They are true, true, true. Watch this. Making wise the simple. You may not know a lot. You may not have the highest IQ. But if you get in the Word of God, it'll make you wise. It makes wise the simple. Listen, if you want to know God's thoughts, you got to read God's thoughts. You read God's thoughts, you'll find yourself thinking God's thoughts in situations. Well, number four, and I love this, you can find wisdom by asking God to give you wisdom. You need wisdom? Ask.
Yes.
That is such an incredible promise. And I love this because it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, don't know what to do in a situation, ask.
Yeah. Right.
Don't know whether to go here or go there, ask. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it'll be given. Ask. He'll give you wisdom. Don't doubt that he'll give you wisdom, because it says if you doubt in your heart, if you're like, I hope he does. Man, I'm going to need it by 2 o'clock tomorrow. God, I hope you do it. Listen, if you do that, forget it. You're not going to get, God's not even going to honor that. But here's what it says, and that's in verse 6. Here's what it says. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask. In the original, it's the giving God. He should ask the giving God. God is an incurable generous giver. And he loves it when people ask for wisdom. In fact, implied in the text, He should ask the giving God, who gives generously to all? I mean, so like, God, I need wisdom. He doesn't just give you wisdom for that decision. He just like, man, they need wisdom. I'm going to give them a lot of wisdom. So he just dumps the wisdom on you. You know, God, over and above, I'm going to give you wisdom on this. And well, man, I'm going to give you wisdom on that and that and that and that. He's a generous. And he doesn't find fault. He doesn't say, well, you haven't ever come to me or you've been living a crazy life. I don't think I'm going to give you any. No, he's like, well, it's about time. You need wisdom. I'm going to give you wisdom. I'm going to give you a lot of wisdom. And he does it because he loves it. He's like, I'm going to help you. I'm so glad you asked. The giving God, incredibly generous, giving wisdom because you and I ask. Yes. You know, this verse, whenever I read this verse, I can't help but think Debbie and I had been married probably less than 6 months, and we jumped into a Sunday school class for young marrieds, and as we're in this class, they're doing a study on wisdom of all things, and they use this verse, and they were talking about wisdom. And as they're talking about wisdom, I can remember the guy, I can remember his name still today. He said, well, man, if wisdom is that important, it looks to me like we should be asking for wisdom every day. And I was sitting there, I was thinking, you know, that's right. That's true. Yeah. And I went home, and from that day on, the top of my prayer list on things I pray for myself. So I pray for the church, pray for people close to me and others' needs. And then when I get to myself, which is a short list, but the first thing always, God, give me wisdom. God, give me, it stayed with me from the time I was 20 years old. That's how old I was in that class. So now for 35 years, every day I've been saying, God, please give me wisdom. Give me a listening ear. The more I learn about wisdom, the more I can pray in terms of what that means or different things. Lord, I just need wisdom. I need wisdom. I'm not smart enough to be a good husband. I'm not smart enough to be a good dad. I'm not smart enough to be a good pastor. God, give me wisdom. I'm not smart enough. I don't know everything I need to know. But God, please help me. I don't know what to do in this situation, God. Please give me wisdom. Give me a listening ear. Prompt me. May I always hear the voice of the Spirit. For 35 years, I've prayed that. I just have to say, I've seen God answer that over and over and over and over again. The generous God, graciously giving His wisdom. I'm going to ask musicians to come. There's one more thing that I think is very interesting is you find wisdom by giving your life to Christ. I don't know whether you become a Christian or not, but if you haven't become a Christian yet, if you haven't given your heart to Christ, then everything I'm saying, I mean, you could get some wisdom by reading the Bible as an unbeliever, but you wouldn't get as much as you would if you read it as a believer. Because Jesus Christ is the source. He's the fount of all wisdom. It's interesting, you know, you read the gospel accounts and you get in Matthew and it's written to Jews to show that, the Jewish people, to show that Jesus is the king. So he goes back and traces his lineage through David, the royal line. And then you get to Mark, and it's written to show him as the suffering servant. And since a servant, a slave's genealogy doesn't matter, there's no genealogy given. And then you get to Luke, and he's the Son of Man. And because he's the Son of Man, his genealogy goes all the way back to Adam, the first man. And then you come to John's Gospel, and in John's Gospel, he's the Son of God. And so he has a divine genealogy, and it starts with these words: in the beginning was the Word. What is that word in the Greek? It's the word logos. We get our word logic from it. In the beginning was the logic. And the logic was with God and the logic was God. The rationale, the Greeks viewed logic as the rationale, the force, the source, the reason behind everything. In the beginning, the reason behind everything, the force behind everything, the rationale for everything was with God, and the rationale was God. In the beginning was the wisdom, and the wisdom was with God, and the wisdom was God. And who's it talking about? It's talking about Jesus. Interesting, isn't it? Jesus says this when he's preaching to the crowds. He says in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 42, the queen of the south, who is that? The queen of Sheba, remember? She comes from a long distance to see Solomon. She's heard about his wisdom. And she comes, and when she hears Solomon, she's like, whoa, the half had not been told me. You are one wise person. Jesus says, she'll rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For she came from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom, and now one greater than Solomon is here. One wiser than Solomon. How wise is he? Listen to this in Colossians. It says that they might know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. It's all in him. All of it. All knowledge, all wisdom, it's in Christ. He's the fount of it. He's the source of it. He is before all things, Paul says in Colossians chapter 1. All things were made by him. All things were made for him. And in him, all things hold together. He's the wisdom that holds it all together. He's the power that holds it all together. He's the reason that holds it all together. He is wisdom. He is knowledge. He is Jesus. And until you know Jesus, you'll never know wisdom. Till you know him, you'll never know everything else. He's the beginning of wisdom.